confusion about that. You listen to liberal theologians and folks, and they're even confused about what Jesus said about himself. Let me just show you from the Word of God what Jesus said, and then see if you believe what he said. Look at John chapter number 6. I want you to know this morning, he is the supplier of our needs. The supplier of our needs. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And he said, I can take care of your needs. I am the bread of life. We're going to eat in a little while. Amen? That'll be a wonderful thing. And with our food, no doubt, there is bread. Right? And when we have meals, we have our stuff, and then we have bread along with it most often, don't we? When they had bread, bread was the meal. Bread wasn't just something that you brought in along with the other things. Bread was the meal. And if you had bread, you had sustenance. Jesus said, I'll take care of that need in your life. I am the bread of life. I'm what you need. I am what will take care of your problems and your needs. I will be your supply. It says in Psalm 37, verse 25, David wrote and he said, I was young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is indeed the supplier of our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. Not only is he the bread of life, look at chapter 8. We're going to stay right in the book of John, but I'm going to ask you to turn back and forth to some different passages. John chapter 8, verse 12. Here's what else Jesus said about himself. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, hey, you need light, you need direction. I can take care of that. I am the light of the world. Do I need to tell you that we live in a dark world? A spiritually dark world? We do. All around us is darkness and confusion and confusion about even the simplest matters of right and wrong and good and bad. And just, it's completely upside down. If you've lived very long, you know that the things that pass as good and right today were once called bad and wicked and evil. Everything has been flipped upside down. We live in a state of complete confusion about right and wrong and good and evil and moral and immoral. We live in a world of spiritual darkness. Jesus said, I can take care of that for you. I am the light of the world. When I was just a year old, my folks decided they wanted to move to Alaska. We were from central Minnesota, and we sold everything. We sold the cows and the horses and everything, and loaded up everything and drove to Alaska. Mom and Dad and five kids and an uncle that drove another truck that was pulling a trailer full of stuff. And up the road we went, the dirt road at that time, in the mid-60s. We just headed on up the road. And we took with us a little, I don't know if you remember these, a little pink travel trailer. Remember those little teardrop-shaped pink travel trailers? I don't know why they were all pink, but they were pink. That was just the color. And so that's what we took with us. And we pulled that on up to Alaska, and Dad bought a chunk of land, and we pulled that little pink travel trailer onto the chunk of land, parked it there, and he proceeded to clear off the acreage and started to build a house. Now, I was the youngest of five. Three older brothers, an older sister, five kids and Mom and Dad would not fit in that little pink travel trailer. You couldn't stand in that little travel trailer with seven people. There just wasn't enough room. So we were very resourceful. Now, my wife and I, we travel in a big, long fifth-wheel trailer all during the summer months and the spring months and into the fall. And it's pretty comfortable. It's 35 feet long. It has these slidey-outy things on the sides. So you have twice as much room than it looks like when you're going down the road. We have in there our big bedroom upstairs and our closets, and then the kids have their own room in the back with bunk beds and their own closets, and we have a stove. We have an oven. We have a microwave. We have a refrigerator and a freezer. We have air conditioning in the summer. We have heat in the fall. We have hot and cold running water. We have two sinks, one in the kitchen, one in the bathroom. We have our own restroom facilities in that trailer. It's a wonderful blessing. You know, they didn't have any of that stuff in those little pink travel trailers. They didn't have any of that stuff. You were lucky that there was a flat place to lay down and go to sleep. That's all there was. So there's mom and dad and five kids. We wouldn't all fit in there. So my sister and I were a lot younger than my older brothers. So we got to sleep in the travel trailer with mom and dad. Dad built a little shed for my brothers to sleep in. And that's what they slept in. And that's what we lived in while dad proceeded to clear the land and build the house. There are no restroom facilities in the little pink trailers. So dad built another shed a little further out, with a path to the shed. I know this is a very sophisticated area of the country, so none of you probably ever had to experience that. But we had the joys of an outhouse. I think everybody should at least once in their life, because it builds character. Amen? It builds character. So you just need, if you've never had one, go get one. Amen? Put it up in the backyard and spend the winter using it. You will so much appreciate your bathroom in your house. Amen? So in the summertime, the sun is up all night long. It's not an issue to have to go down the path in the summertime in the middle of the night. Not an issue at all. But in the wintertime in Alaska, the sun is not up very much. It's up for a very short period in the middle of the day, and the rest of the time it's dark. Dark. That means inevitably you're going to have to go down the path in the dark. It's going to happen sooner or later. You have to go down the path in the dark. We get lots of snow in the winter. And the snow piles up and you shovel a path, almost a tunnel, to go down the path. We don't have deer in Alaska. Last night we pulled into the hotel and right next to us was a pickup truck that had deer legs sticking out the back. We stopped and looked. The kids wanted to see the dead deer in the back of the truck, so we stuck them in there and there they were. It was exciting. I said, oh, that's nasty, that's gross. No. It was exciting. They loved it. Amen. You don't find a truck with two moose in it. That doesn't happen. Two moose don't fit in the back of a truck. One moose doesn't really fit very well in the back of the truck. A moose is a huge, huge creature. We don't have deer. We have moose. Moose, big, ugly moose. Big, big, big moose. You see a deer, the deer runs away. Moose aren't like that. They're not skittish at all. You see a moose and he's liable to come see you. He might just come to see you. And that's just how they are. They, however, do not like to stand up to their bellies in the snow. So if there's a shoveled place, that's where they stand. If there's a nice clear path, that's where the moose will stand. So when you shovel a nice path out to the little room, sooner or later, there's going to be a moose standing in the path. You don't want to come nose to nose with a moose standing in the path. So the best thing to do was to get Dad to go with you and take a flashlight. Because Dad could go down the path and shine that light and you'd find out if there was danger down the path. Jesus said, you live in a dark world. You need direction. You need guidance. You need light. I'll take care of that. I am the light of the world. You don't have to walk in darkness. If you'll follow me, you'll walk in the light. What a wonderful Savior. He's the bread of life, and He's the light of the world. Not only that, He's our source of strength. He gives us comfort. Look at John chapter 10, just over one more page in your Bible. John chapter 10, verse number 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Now, I've never had sheep. We had a goat once, but we got rid of her after she ate the seat off of Dad's snowmobile. So we didn't have sheep or anything. But I've talked to sheep people, and they tell me that sheep are not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Sheep are a little dull, you know. They don't really know how to find food. You have to take them to the pasture. They don't really know how to find water. You have to take them right up to the water. And they can't really take care of themselves. They're pretty helpless. They have no self-defense mechanisms. Sheep don't attack and kill people. They just don't. Sheep are just helpless. If a wild animal comes, a sheep is an easy target. All he's got to do is chase it and get it, and then it's all over. Sheep are helpless. Isn't it something that God refers to us as sheep so often? kind of dull, kind of dim-witted, kind of helpless. Oh, not me. Oh, yeah, you. You and me and all of us. Pretty much just helpless. It's a good thing we have a good shepherd. Jesus said, I know that you're like sheep. But that's okay because I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. They tell us in that part of the world they would put the sheep at night in an enclosed area, and then the shepherd would lay down in the open doorway of that fence. That way, if something wanted to get the sheep, it had to come over the shepherd. And it would awaken him, and he would get up and literally sacrifice himself to protect those sheep. That was his job. He would sacrifice himself to protect those sheep. Jesus said, I'll do that for you. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, when the sheep are in there and they're all tucked away safely and the shepherd's laying down there in front of the door, the sheep don't have to worry. They don't have to wonder what's going to happen to them. They don't have to be afraid of what might happen if something bad comes, because the shepherd is right out there and he will take care of it all. The same thing is true for you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He's a good shepherd. He gives us comfort. He's our source of strength. He's our source of nourishment. Look at John chapter 15 over a few more pages. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Jesus said, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. What does the vine do for the branches? The vine provides all that they need. It keeps them alive. The vine is what brings the water and the nutrients out of the ground and takes it to the branches and the fruit. Without the vine, the branches are worthless. Without the vine, the branches just shrivel up and die. I like to plant stuff. I do. I like to plant stuff in the ground and watch it grow. And as a result, we haven't got to spend much time at our house in Kentucky this year at all. So I haven't really got to plant much. I planted a couple little blueberry bushes, but they were pretty small. So hopefully next year we'll have some blueberries on our blueberry bushes. I grew up in Alaska, spent all my life in Alaska. You can't just plant stuff in the ground and expect it to grow. Most stuff doesn't grow. I mean, it'll grow for a little while in the summer, and then the end of August, it starts freezing, and boom, it's dead, it's all over, that's the end of it. In Kentucky, it's very different than that. I mean, you can take stuff and toss it in the ground, and whoop, it just grows. I was at Walmart one day, and they had peach trees on sale. So I bought a peach tree. I just wanted to see if it would grow. So I brought it home and dug a hole in the middle of the front yard and stuck it in there. That silly thing grew. You can't do that in Alaska. You don't have peach trees in Alaska. And all of a sudden it grew, and now I don't even like peaches. I don't like peaches. But I get peaches off my peach tree. Last year there were so many peaches, it was breaking the branches. We weren't home in the spring to get it all thinned out and everything, and we got home as everything was ripe and the branches were just hanging down on the ground. Peaches everywhere. We got bags and bags and bags of peaches in the freezer. It's wonderful. I wish I liked peaches. I bought a plum tree and put it in the backyard. I'm getting better. I like plums. That silly thing grew. It was only this tall. It grew. It's huge now. There are plums all over the thing last year. Great, big, juicy plums. The sweetest, juiciest plums I've ever had in all my life. They were, when we got home, they were ripening, and some of them were already on the ground laying there. David thought he was in heaven. He's running around grabbing these half-rotten plums off the ground, eating them, and just thought it was great. I had to keep watching him and not letting him eat the half-rotten plums. Didn't hurt him. I guess he built up an immunity or something. I have two little apple trees out by the edge of the yard. I just wanted to see if they'd grow. They grew. You get little apples off those little apple trees. Wonderful little apples. It's just amazing. You just take stuff and stick it in the ground and boom, up it comes. I have a great big bush out by the driveway. I have to keep trimming it back. I don't know what it is, but it gets white flowers on it, and it just smells. The whole yard smells like perfume, and it gets stuff on it, and it just has different things on it all year long, and it grows like a weed. It's huge. So I have to keep trimming it back, because you can't get out the driveway, and you can't see. So I go out there and I clip off those big branches and they fall on the ground and they hit the ground and boom, they grow into new trees. Just checking to see if you're following. You know better than that, don't you? I clip those off and they fall on the ground. And you know what happens to them? In just a matter of hours, all of a sudden those leaves don't look like the ones that are still on the tree. They start to change color. And over the period of time, by the end of the day, they're all shriveled and curled up. And if you leave them there for a couple of days, they turn brown and they get brittle. And if you pick them up, they just crumble in your hands. The leaves just crumble. You know why? Because they are no longer attached to their source of nourishment. And when the source of nourishment is no longer attached, that branch shrivels up and dies. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. You just stay hooked into the vine and you'll bear fruit. But you get yourself detached and your fruit bearing is over. It's all done. It's all done. I am the vine and you're the branches. I am the true vine. What a wonderful Savior that supplies for us strength and comfort and nourishment and all of our needs. He takes care of it all. You say, well, I don't need somebody to take care of stuff like that for me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The truth is, we need help. We need help. Desperately need help. I've probably told you before, but I'll tell you again just for the fun of it. My mother has a Chihuahua. Its name is Taco. She got it because they had a commercial on TV, the Taco Bell commercial, and this little Chihuahua would come up and speak in Spanish. She fell in love with that ugly little creature, and she wanted a Chihuahua. So one day she called me. She told me she was going to Anchorage to look at puppies. I said, Mom, don't do it. Don't look. She said, we're just going to look. I said, that's how the devil works. Don't go look. He gets you to look, and next thing you know, he just sucks you right in there. I said, don't. She said, no, I'm just going to look. She called me later that night, that afternoon. She said, guess what I did? I don't have to guess what you did. I know what you did. She got one. A little brown, furry, bug-eyed, pointy-eared handful of bad attitude. Taco. There are some rules around the house. Taco is not allowed outside. He's supposed to stay in the house. Now, there's a reason for that. A few years ago, an elderly couple, I think they were from Pennsylvania, they drove their motorhome to Alaska. It was the trip of a lifetime. They had saved and scrimped, and they were driving their motorhome to Alaska. They took their little poodle with them. They stopped at a rest area by Valdez. Valdez is a beautiful place. That's where that oil tanker spilled oil years ago and all that stuff. It's absolutely beautiful. Oil and all. Just gorgeous. It's a nice shine on the water. No, really. You'd never know anything ever happened there. It's all cleaned up. It's fine. Beautiful, beautiful place. Mountains on one side. Glaciers coming down. The bay out there. It's just absolutely beautiful. And they stopped at a rest area outside of Valdez, and they let their little poodle out to run around and do what little poodles do. And they interviewed them in the paper. They were amazed at the bald eagles. We have bald eagles in Alaska. Now, don't be getting ahead of me. We have bald eagles in Alaska like you have pigeons in a city, you know? Just eagles in the trees, eagles flying around. The first time Liz ever came to Alaska to visit, I showed her bald eagles. We went to the dump. I mean, they're everywhere. They're on the ground. They're in the trees. They're flying around. Bald eagles everywhere. Not very majestic at the dump, but they're beautiful anyway. And they interviewed them. The eagles were soaring around, and they were surprised at how close the eagles would come. And their little poodle just running around having a good time, and all of a sudden, yeah, that eagle swooped down and grabbed that little poodle and took off with that little poodle. Just took off. They interviewed him in the paper. The woman was just devastated. She was, that eagle stole. The man seemed to think it was a pretty good vacation. They'd gone pretty well. If you were to call my mother today and say, Mrs. Rogers, why is Taco not allowed out of the house? You know what she'd say? She'd say, I'm afraid an eagle will get him. You know that's entirely possible. It could. Eagles do it. Owls do it. That just, we got all kinds of stuff that would be glad to chomp up a little 3.5 pound chihuahua. When you're 3.5 pounds, any 3.5 pounds, full grown, it doesn't have to be an eagle. It could be a bad rabbit. That's all it would have to be. And you don't want to meet the neighborhood cat. You don't want to meet him, because he'll just rip you to pieces. I mean, at 3.5 pounds, you better stay in the house. You know what Taco's one great desire in life is? To go outside. But he wants outside. He wants outside, and somebody comes and he just shoots for their feet, tries to get outside. And if he gets outside, he runs straight for the road. That's where he goes. His little ears flopping and his tail going, you can almost hear him yelling, I'm free, I'm free. He just loves to go outside. And you can call and yell and threaten and bribe and he won't come back. He just won't come back until he's ready to come back. One day Mom called me on the phone. She was all upset. She said, Taco got out. I said, oh, did he? She said, yeah, what? I said, what did he do? She said, he ran across the road, ran across the yard, got out on the road and chased a truck down the road. Now think about that. 3.5 pounds chasing a truck down the road. What in the world are you going to do with it when you catch it at 3.5 pounds? And that's just not smart at all. But he wants to go out. Why? He thinks he can take care of himself. He thinks he's self-sufficient. He can handle it. He can make it out there. Listen, the truth is, even if something didn't get him, he would die anyway. He doesn't know where to get food. He doesn't know where to get water. He would just lay down and starve to death out in the woods if he survived the first day. That's all. Because he's little and he's weak and he needs help. You know what we are? We're little and we're weak and we need help. And God said, I'll take care of you if you'll let me. Or you can just go out there and run around and die if you'd like, but I'll take care of you if you'll let me. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the true vine. I'll give you the nourishment. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the protection. I'll give you all that stuff if you'll just let me. If you'll just let me. Not only is He all those things, He's the Savior of the soul. Look at John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a pretty intolerant statement, isn't it? Say, well, what about the good folks down the road and they're so sincere, but they don't believe in Jesus? No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Sincerity never got anybody into heaven. There's no free pass for ignorance to get into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, Buddha never said that. Buddha never said, you just come to me and I'll take care of your sin problem and I'll get you into heaven. He never claimed that. Confucius never claimed that. He never said he could take care of your sins. Never did. Muhammad never claimed to be able to take care of anybody's sin. He never said, you just come to me and I'll take care of it and I'll get you to... Muhammad never said that. Muhammad said, you work as hard as you can and if you're lucky, you might make it. Joseph Smith never promised to be able to take care of anybody else's sin. You know what he said? Work hard and do your best and you might make it. That's not much to build your life on, is it? You know the Pope never took care of anybody's sin? Never did, never has, never will. He can't even take care of his own sin. He's just a sinner who needs help just like everybody else. He's never come and said, I can take care of your sin problem. You just trust me and I'll get you to heaven. He never claimed it because he knows he can't take care of your sin. Jesus said, I can do that for you. You just come to me and I'll take care of it. What a wonderful Savior. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know there's only one doorway into heaven. Just one. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no second option. There's no back door or side door. There's no other way. There's just one door, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing. So, oh, that's just intolerant and hateful. No, that's the truth from the Word of God. That's what Jesus said about Himself. Do you believe Him? That's what He said about Himself. Not only is He the doorway to heaven, He's our victory over death. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have to fear death. Oh, I know we don't like sickness and we don't like pain, but you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear leaving this life if you know Jesus Christ, because He's already taken care of it. Look, if you would, at John chapter 11. You know the story, and we talked about it a little bit, I think, one night this week. The story of Lazarus. He's died. Mary and Martha want Jesus to come, and Jesus doesn't come. And now He's been dead for 4 days, and Jesus finally comes. And look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. Martha said, Lord, if You had been here, Lazarus, he got sick and he died, but if You'd been here, You could have healed him. And she was right. He could have. She believed that Jesus could heal, and she believed that Jesus could have taken care of it. But now, He's too late, and Lazarus is dead. Look at verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, yes, I could have healed him, but Martha, he's going to rise again. And Martha said, I know one day, way down there, in ages to come, somewhere along the line, there'll be a resurrection and he'll rise again. But he's dead now and we miss him now. She didn't understand what Jesus was saying at all. Look at verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Said, you know who's going to raise him again down there at the end? Me. I am the resurrection. And if I can do that down there, I can do it today. Amen? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he looked at Martha and he asked her a question. He said, believest thou this? He said, Martha, yes, there will be a resurrection at the last day, but I'm the one that will do that resurrection, and I am the resurrection right now. And then he looked at her and he said, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Good question, isn't it? What if Martha had said, no, I just think you're a good teacher. End of story. End of story. Martha had the right answer. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Same thing Peter said, wasn't it? She said, I know you're the one. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the Deliverer. You're the one that God's promised to us. You're the one. You know what Jesus would say to you if he were standing here this morning? He would say, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the living water. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he would look at you right in the eye. He would say, do you believe me? And the answer to that question is the most important answer you will ever give in all your life. Because if you walk away saying, well, he's a good teacher, but I just don't know about the God stuff. I don't know about that only way to heaven business. That's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. But if you can walk away saying, yes, I know He is my Savior. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's my resurrection and He's my life and He is my Savior. He's my bread of life and my light of the world and He's my good shepherd and He's my vine. Yes, I know the right answer. That's good. You better have the right answer. It doesn't matter what the guy down the road says. It doesn't matter what the guy across town believes. It doesn't matter what the guy on TV tells you. Who do you say Jesus is? I hope you have the right answer today. And if you don't, you can before you walk out of here. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here in this place this morning. Thank you that you are all those things you said you are. Lord, I don't know the hearts of these folks. It could be that there's somebody here this morning that is lost. Somebody that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe a good person, religious person. Maybe somebody that thinks that being good or going to church is going to get them into heaven one day. God, I pray they would understand that has never gotten a single soul into the gates of heaven and never will. I pray they would understand today what they need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God, if there's somebody like that, I pray that you grab a hold of their heart and convict them and draw them to yourself, and today they would come and be saved while they have the opportunity. And for each and every saved person, Lord, I pray today that you'd remind us of all the things you said you would be to us in our lives. When we need comfort, when we need strength, when we need nourishment or encouragement, that you are indeed our source. Not the world, not philosophy, not some other thing, but you are our source. Remind us of that. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you could honestly say, I know for sure there was a day in my life when I realized I was a sinner. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I died today, or if I died 10 years from now, I am certain my sins are washed away and I'm headed for heaven. If that's you, would you slip your hand up in testimony? Praise the Lord. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning and you if you're going to be honest, you'd have to say, I don't know that. I just don't know if my sin problem's taken care of, and I just don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I'd be glad to pray for you. I will not embarrass you, and I won't come get you, but I'll pray for you. Nobody will see. Nobody else is looking. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Is there somebody like that? I'd be glad to pray for you today. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands raised in this room. Lord, there are some that could not raise their hand to testify that they know for sure they're saved and on their way to heaven. God, I pray that they would settle that question before they leave here. Lord, I pray not a single soul that walks out of here would walk out lost without Christ. But I pray that you would indeed draw them to yourself. Show them the importance of salvation, redemption. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, she's going to play through this song. If you need to come this morning, why don't you come? Why don't you come? If you need to get saved, now would be the perfect time. You need to settle that question. Maybe today you need some comfort or some strength or some light. You're going to find that in Jesus. You're not going to find that out in the world. You're not going to find that deep inside yourself. You're going to find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our brother to sing the first verse of that song. Listen close as he sings it. It's time for you to come. Would you come this morning? Free to all. Pastor, would you come?